plan sucked.
All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, December 21st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to get you started. Keep winning on FanDuel and or DraftKings. Head over to the site and get a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for NFL, NBA, base level projections for NHL. You're all good to go under one subscription package. So go check it out, dfsr.com/NBA, free for 3 days, and then $34.95 a month after that. Buddy, we were trading holiday war stories going into today. Things like my wife running a gift exchange and one of the people coming and not, or actually bailing and not only not bringing the gift, getting a gift herself and then not bringing a gift for the other person, which is, has me on kind of tilt this morning. I've been complaining about that a lot this morning. Cause I feel like this person,
I noticed.
Yeah. And then I just took a 10 minute break before we started the podcast to go downstairs and complain more to my wife about it, how she needs to shame this person. And I don't want this person in our life anymore. And then you were telling me about the holiday cookie exchange at your house today. You want to let the listeners in on any details of that?
It's just a time of year where I feel like a man's man. So we're going, our little week looked like this. Last Sunday, Christmas with my parents. Today, holiday cookie exchange, winter solstice party. That's right. We'll be out in the cold making a fire on the coldest and darkest day of the year. Coming up this weekend, Christmas again with my with my wife's parents, all of during which I expect to get no gifts, by the way. That's how this generally works for me. So,
well, I'm going to expect
I was going to say I'm going to be investing the GDP of a small county into getting gifts for, you know, family and friends, and getting nothing myself. So that's kind of how I'm gearing up for this holiday.
And I'm looking forward to spending Christmas Christmas Eve Sunday at my wife's uncle's house, who has stopped watching football because they're kneeling. So make the nice little trip up there only to watch ? Because
the line there is, will he go over the line from semi-racist banter into overtly racist? But who knows? I guess we'll have to show up on Sunday to find out.
That's going to be my little fun.
I'll be sure to send you texts and giving you updates throughout the weekend. But that being said, though, cash game play.
Yeah,
that's
let's
what we
get
normally
into.
Talk about on the Thursday podcast. Right. So this week I had the honor of writing the cash game plays article because you have famously, Doug, been writing DFSR NBA related content for Sports Illustrated. So you turned the keys to the kingdom over to me in terms of writing the cash game plays and kind of getting the system updated, which this time of year has been falling into your domain. And I had fun. It was my first football article of the year, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm excited to drop some straight up knowledge bombs on our listeners.
It was a little TLDR for me, to be honest with you. I did scroll through the names.
The article itself. Well, you normally just give, just to catch people up, if you don't read Doug's articles, normally it's just like a bulleted list, riddled with grammatical mistakes, no punctuation, no capitalization. This week, I went ahead and wrote an actual article. So that's like, if you're used to Doug's articles, you may want to head over to the site and check it out. Click on the NFL tab, and you can see. Just actual paragraphs written about each play.
How much did it pain you to write up Cam Newton first at quarterback? Because I know if you've been listening to this podcast at all for the last 3 years, you know that James, well, really both of us. So it's not just, this isn't just fall. This doesn't fall directly into James's camp, but we have not been on Team Cam really at all ever, maybe for a brief period.
But we have. So here's the thing with Team Cam, and we've played Cam a number of times. Cam is just like that crazy ex-girlfriend that we all have at somewhere along the line, or boyfriend. Listen to you, Kelly, Mariah, all the gals who hop in the chat from time to time. It's the crazy ex that you have who, like, everyone tells you after you break up how crazy she is, and then you just get back together with her, and then everyone's like, I never really minded Janice, you know, she's like not the worst, definitely not. And then you get back into it, and right when you hop in, she goes from like the makeup and looking great and being real funny to being totally crazy again. And so Cam is that for me. I'm fully assuming that I'm gonna get like the Chicago game out of Cam here where he scored 9 fantasy points, and I'm just resigned to it because I really do think that by the numbers, I think I still live in a world where math makes sense and that numbers can help us predict things more accurately in the future. And by those numbers, him going up against Tampa Bay here should be a great spot.
All right. So do you think that he's coming off a week where he had huge ownership, obviously, like 50% in FanDuel, 50% in DraftKings, and I think somewhere around the same.
It's 35%.
Okay, so a little lower on FanDuel, which makes sense because he had a bigger price disparity from Wilson over on DraftKings. But do you think, one, the ownership – that we've seen a price increase for sure. He's coming off his a huge week against Green Bay. Do you think that we end up seeing, you know, you wrote him up as the clear play, or maybe, I don't know if he's the clear play. He wrote him up as the top play here. Do you think we see the ownership only up to 6,800 on DraftKings? Do we think we see that ownership still in that 50%-ish range over there? And do you think people are going to be willing to pull the trigger on him, like over, let's say, Russell Wilson. I guess Russell Wilson's up to 9,000, but do you think he ends up becoming just maybe also the most owned play just because of the price and because of what he did last week?
I think it'll be a straightforwardly most owned play on FanDuel, 700 cheaper than Russ, coming off a better week where he was higher owned. It just tends to work out that way. Tampa Bay, he wasn't very good against them when they scored off earlier this season, went for just 14 fantasy points. But with Cam, you can't really look at the fantasy point totals. You just look at the opportunity. And in that game, he did run the ball 11 times, and threw the ball 32 times, which is pretty much what we're looking for in a given Cam game. Sometimes it works out, but sometimes it doesn't. And I think coming off this Green Bay week, there are a lot of positive indicators for me. One of them, and we'll get to this in tight ends, is that Greg Olsen now practicing in full with the foot injury seems to be back. I mean, he was highly targeted last week. That's always just been a huge outlet for Cam. And for a guy who throws just like 180 passing yards a game, getting the extra 60 that Olsen can chip into the mix really does make a difference. And I think it also frees him up in the running game too. So going up against Tampa Bay, just kind of a historically bad defense would be stating it too strongly, but just a really, really, really bad defense. They've allowed the most passing yards in the league this season. They've allowed the fifth highest yards per carry on the ground. So I think Cam will just be the highest owned there. Now, DraftKings, I think it's a lot closer. So Wilson, just 200 more than Newton on DraftKings this week. So those prices have really come together. Wilson this season has basically been a rich man's version of Cam, right? I mean, he runs a little bit less, but throws much better and more accurately, has had better weapons throughout the season. Do you think, between Newton and Wilson, separated by just $200, what do you think the ownership shakes out on DraftKings?
Yeah, it's going to be close. You got to be worried about Wilson here after watching him in that Rams game, because it was really showed right. What happens when a team is like, okay, one, if you have a pass rush, which Dallas does, that causes him problems just to start, because they couldn't get any of the running game going, and he just ends up having basically, and he's really been doing this the whole season where he's basically been running for his life. He drops back the pass, and it's just why the rushing yards are so high. It's because these aren't designed runs. He's just scrambling, not finding anyone open in the flat or downfield, and then just taking off and running for his life, mostly because they haven't had the running game too. I think what ends up happening is it's close. You know, if you look at Vegas, Carolina right now has the second highest implied total of this main slate, somewhere a little north of 28 points. Seattle only 21, which is pretty low for them. They're on the road. I'm a little worried about Russ, and I fully understand that he's been great pretty much every week but last week, and I don't want to read too much into that, right? So, like, I don't want to completely just take last week against a very good Rams team and say, look, this is what he's going to do going forward, because he's had very little about their situation has changed, except that he just kind of got skunked last week. So I think it's close. I think that you probably get a nice separation by playing Wilson, and I'm not fully confident to do it. And I'm also understanding that in football, sometimes it's very, and this is the nature of football and the way the schedule works and just how few games they play, it's very difficult to not look at the week before and project that week onto the current guy and then to the current week. And that ends up becoming a mistake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go overboard with the Rams performance, and I'm still kind of worried by it.
Yeah, I think that's I'm certainly a little bit worried too. I think it generally makes sense not to go too crazy, but when you have a decision like this, where basically I think taking Wilson, well, certainly on FanDuel, you're going to be openly going against the chalk to do so, to pay a premium to do so, seems a little nuts. I also think there are a little some contextual factors that are playing in my mind right now too, specifically Elliott coming back for Dallas this week. I tend to believe that they're going to control the ball a lot better with Elliott there, just because they're going to run the ball more and they're going to be more effective running the ball. And Dak has had his own struggles. So I think in a game where Dallas is like highly incentivized to just put their best foot forward, I think that you're going to see a ton of Elliott. And if that train starts moving, you're going to see a contracted number of possessions on both sides.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I'm kind of concerned about Wilson, but yeah, thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
Well, the Dallas, and if you look at how this has trended for Dallas this year, they had been one of the better time of possession, or just opponent plays per game teams leading into the season, for the better part of the season. And they've steadily just dropped since Dak's been gone, since Zeke's been gone, which makes total sense. So I think that's probably reflected in the line, and I'm with you there. And the last guy you wrote up here was Jay Cutler. I'm assuming here this is just like a cheap pivot, maybe just a DraftKings thing for 4,800. Give me some of the reasoning here behind Cutler.
He's not a cash game play, but I think you can get some big time separation on him for big tournaments. And I think the upside is demonstrable. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Miami's really trusted him in the past a lot more. They've shifted a lot of their rushing carries into the passing game as well, with Kenyon Drake going out there last week and just being heavily featured in the passing game. He had 11 targets, caught 6 balls. That was almost double from the prior week. If you add up the prior 2 weeks, actually, you get that 11 total. So I think the plan there is to pass the ball. KC this year has been kind of interesting, because well, they have a big name shutdown corner in Marcus Peters. They still haven't been very good against the pass. And I think that actually favors Miami's profile because, you know, a lot of teams that do well passing the ball, they have one wide receiver like an Antonio Brown type or, you know, Julio Jones or whoever, you know, some featured guy, DeAndre Hopkins, that a shutdown corner kind of puts the whole passing game in jeopardy. But since Miami doesn't really have that, I mean, they have Jarvis Landry, but he's not going to be going out wide and squaring off against Marcus Peters. He'll be lined up more in the slot. And so I think Miami has enough weapons, such as they are, even though they're not all spectacular. I think they're pretty consistent across the board. And I think Kenyon Drake has been pretty good as well recently. So I think, and this is, again, it's only a punt play. I wouldn't recommend doing this for cash. But I think there is significant upside. I mean, Cutler 2 weeks ago scored 23 fantasy points. If he does something like that again in this price, you're in the hunt in a big tournament. Of course, last week he was, you know, threw three picks and fumbled the ball four times. So, you know, there's plenty of downside risk here as well. But if you want to get some separation from some of these more prominent guys, I do think Cutler's a reasonable pivot.
All right, let's move into some of these running backs here. We mentioned briefly 2 seconds ago, Zeke Elliott. I think he's going to be just a clear consensus chalk on both the sites. And really, the price hasn't prices doesn't seem all that expensive, especially on FanDuel, only 8,300, even 8,000 on DraftKings this time of year. You're going to be able to find enough probably cheap plays. Do you think prioritizing him? I mean, on FanDuel, I'm not too worried about it. You get a little closer, I think, on DraftKings with the price. And I still think, I mean, do you think that just prioritizing him above probably any other skill position play is the way that everyone's going to go here? If you had to try to maybe try to guess his cash ownership, but like, where do you stand on Zeke? It's not whether he's a player or not. It's really just about how heavily owned I think he is.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think he'll be something close. He'll be unanimously owned among the people who know what they're doing. So however many percentage of people don't know what they're doing in cash games, those people probably, some of them will play him too, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of people, it's funny. This week is one, we see this, I've seen this trend in fantasy football throughout our time in DFS, where once you come to playoff time, the casual money seems to perform worse because they're paying attention less, you know, like they're in their playoffs for the regular season league. And so only like whatever, a quarter of them make their fantasy leagues playoffs. So people start to do wonkier things. This is the fantasy championship week, as far as I can tell from season long leagues. I don't play in any of those, but you do, and you are competing, fighting it out in the playoffs. You were telling me.
No, so, I'm not. I've been well dusted that kidding. For a long time.
dead last. But I do think that Elliott will be super, super owned. So I don't know why I'm going on this long speech about his ownership. I couldn't really say for sure, but he'll be highly owned. I mean, just to give you the quick numbers in case you need any convincing, he's not going to touch the ball less than 25 times in this game. He was up in those numbers before sitting. Now that he's the only player on the team with fresh legs, I think that he'll be just out there touching the ball as often as possible. And Seattle's days as a defensive giant are just well behind them at this point. They've been basically league average against the rush. I think, and especially Vegas thinks so too, by the way, Vegas or Dallas is favored by 5 points. So I think just all lines up perfectly for Elliott to be highly owned and a fantastic.
Yeah, Gurley completely gashed them last week. It was kind of just early and often. They couldn't really do anything to stop him. And I think, yeah, right, he's going to see heavy volume. Now, the second guy you wrote up was Devontae Freeman with the caveat that Tevin Coleman, it was really based on Tevin Coleman's status. Coleman is back to practicing, so I think we can skip over him and make a note here. It looks like Coleman is not.
So he was limited in practice. So I just want to be clear on the concussion protocol right now. He did participate in Wednesday's practice, but he was limited. It looks like he's progressing towards playing in week 16. But if he sits, I think Freeman and Ezekiel Elliott combined could make up like, you know, 2/3 of the overall ownership or higher, 3/4. I think he'll be a phenomenal play against New Orleans in that case. But yeah, if Coleman comes back, he's not.
Yeah, for sure. I would suspect that just having read these injury things, concussion protocol stuff, if you practice on Wednesday, I think you're on track to play, but we'll wait and see over the weekend to see if that happens. The next two guys, you kind of grouped them together. You put Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette here. You know, Hunt against Miami, and then Fournette did practice yesterday. So it looks like he is on track to play, though we've seen this before with Fournette where it seemed like he was going to play and then he doesn't. So who knows? But if you had to pick between the two of them, the case for both of them seems just to be the usage thing and then, you know, just kind of the matchups and their favorites here. But if you had to choose between the two of them in terms of a safer play, maybe the other guy we can talk about more in the game by game podcast tomorrow. But do you have a gut feeling? I know Kareem Hunt's another guy kind of falls into that Cam category of like, what are you doing to us, guy? Like, you're great, then you stink, then you're great again. You've been the biggest Kareem Hunt truther that I've heard, really, because you didn't want even not wanted to play him.
I think
for many weeks.
So here's my take on these two guys. So I know that you don't, in the TLDR category, you saw a paragraph that was more than a sentence long. Again, not a bulleted list, and you moved on quickly. But I think that basically these are the two guys in similar price range that I would play in two different types of contests. I think Fournette going up against San Francisco, a really, really easy cash game play for me. You know, the Jags, he's a full participant in practice, and when Fournette's healthy, we know that he's just going to be one of the usage leaders in the whole NFL. And yeah, you can't really get too much better of a matchup going against San Francisco as a significant favorite here, in spite of the fact that it's in San Francisco. So I think, yeah, Fournette just a little too cheap for what he stands to offer in such a positive matchup. Kareem Hunt, I think, you know, so he's going up against Miami, and again, they're favored, and I think that they probably should be. The usage has been through the roof recently. I still think that there's plenty of room for downside risk here, but I do think his price point and a lot of the other available big money options will mean his ownership for big tournaments will be a little bit lower than it might be otherwise. So I just think that the expensive running back slot is so crowded, and you have this overwhelming chalk play in Elliott that should see even significant tournament ownership as well. I think Hunt is a great pivot off of Elliott for big tournaments, because I think the upside is arguably just as high, and the ownership will be significantly less. So that's really it, though. I mean, we saw LeSean McCoy kill Miami. I think Hunt profiles somewhat similarly in his usage in the passing and the running game, but mostly it comes down to just pivoting off a guy who should have lower ownership. Although, who knows? You know, two big weeks, maybe everyone will be on him too.
And then you nodded to Kenyon Drake and CJ Anderson. We could talk a little bit more about them.
I like both of those guys too. Yeah, I think Drake is a cash game play. I don't think Anderson is. So just want to put those caveats in before we move on.
Yeah, we'll talk about them some more in the Game by Game podcast that's going to come out tomorrow. Hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll talk about some of these wide receivers.
Yeah, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime offers a great app for daily fantasy sports players. For people who like to not spend so much time digging into the nuances of the salary cap game format, it's more like settling those bar bets. You know, you're sitting there, you think that one guy is going to be good this week. Your friend thinks somebody else is going to be good. Like a guy just posted on his Facebook page, who should I play? This was last week. Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers. And a bunch of people weighed in, and they were in this passionate discussion. Just create a challenge in NoHalftime and send him a link. The way it works is you just take one guy. If your guy outperforms your opponent's player, then you win. If he outperforms you, then he wins. Very simple. So go on, download the NoHalftime.com app, use promo code DFSR for a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
All right, let's get into some of these receivers. You went a little bit of a cheaper mid-range route with receivers, which makes sense considering that, you know, some of the bigger money does look like it's going to trend more toward the quarterbacks and the running backs this week. It's sort of in the same vein as last week outside of Antonio Brown, but you know, the Steelers aren't on the main slate here. You started off with Sterling Shepard. Nice, great game last week. Was a guy that we've been kind of we've wanted to play him a decent amount, especially with Odell, since Odell went down. He's had injury concerns of his own that's kind of kept him out, and then got him maybe slowly reintegrated into the offense. Went off last week. You know, he's priced in the mid tier. Are you concerned at all that this is a bad matchup with Arizona, who does rank pretty nice across the board in terms of secondary coverage and just overall against the pass? Any concerns there? Or you still just like the volume for Shepard?
I think I just like the volume. I mean, I think you linked me an article where defensive matchups don't really matter in the NFL. And who had written that? I just don't want to.
It was someone from Fantasy Labs, and I don't remember.
Yeah, Fantasy Labs.
It was an excellent article, by the way.
It was an excellent article. And I think the compelling case here is that oftentimes, like, you're a given offensive team just has a plan, right? And so, like, if you're going up against Antonio Brown, now Sterling Shepard's not Antonio Brown, but the coverage for Antonio Brown is not going to be such that the Steelers are going to be like, well, geez, we can't throw to Antonio anymore. And so I think the case for New York right now is when a guy's getting this level of overwhelming target share, so 16 targets last week, 13 targets against San Francisco, and I get that he had some bad games mixed in, a lot of weirdness going on there with, you know, Geno Smith sightings and so on and so forth. But I think when the Giants things are working for the Giants, the plan is to get the ball into Shepard's hands. And at 6,700, this is just not a price point where you get a guy whose team's plan is to throw the ball to him 10 times per game, right? So given the 104, averaging 140 receiving yards in those two games too, by the way, it's basically the only thing that's worked in the Giants offense all season long. And so for those reasons, I get that the matchup is tough. I think if he were in a good matchup, he would be 100% owned. I think here we'll get him at a little bit lower ownership, but I think the price point probably would have gone up too. So yeah, I still think Shepard's a play regardless of the relatively difficult matchup here.
Yeah, I think seeing them, I don't mind it too. I agree with you that getting target share like this in this range is not the easiest thing to find typically. And we're going to talk about another guy here in a second that falls into the same category, but with maybe some of the same concerns. But I'm with you there. And actually, if anything that's going to help him here, because the concern also is he draws Patrick Peterson shadow coverage, and that would be a problem for him for sure. But it doesn't heal. He lines up so much out of the slot, and Peterson doesn't come into the slot enough that it's likely that he's able to avoid it enough, not the whole game probably, but he's likely able to avoid it enough that it probably mitigates some of the risk. So
he doesn't need to avoid it every time, right? Because this is the thing in football as well. Like, you know, it's why, for instance, snaps aren't always the greatest indicator for, say, like tight ends, right? Because sometimes a certain tight end comes on the field specifically because the team plans to pass him the ball. Now, that's not the greatest from a game theory perspective. You don't want to tip your hat to your opponent that that's what you might be doing. But that works out in the wide receiver case too, right? Like sometimes Shepard isn't open regardless of who covers him. So on those plays, they don't pass him the ball. And so, you know, Peterson lines up against him 50% of the time. Well, that's still 50% of the plays where he's not lined up on him. So yeah, I like him for that reason. And this is why, and this is one you might disagree with a little bit more. And the price here is much, much better on DraftKings at 5,200. But what about Marquise Goodwin? I mean, he's going up against Jacksonville in one of the toughest possible matchups for an opposing wide receiver, but everything is heading in the right direction for Goodwin as well. So he's kind of the Shepherd to Jimmy Garoppolo's Eli Manning, where he's come in, had huge target share, turned that into great results basically every week, regardless of matchup. He's just 6,800 on FanDuel, 5,200 on DraftKings. What do you think about Goodwin this week, given that Jacksonville has been so good against the pass this year?
Well, this is the math problem, right? Because so his price has actually gone down, or it stayed the same. If not gone down, I'll go back and look. I don't have it in front of me. It's very close. Let's just say it's the same. His price, let's say, is basically the same, which there's no way it would be, except that he's playing Jacksonville, right? So after his last 2 weeks of performance in terms of target share, if he was playing, say, like, if, I don't know, if he was playing Miami or whatever, a bad defensive team, his price on FanDuel would be more in that like $7,000 range. I'm fully convinced, like 7,200, 7,300. And on FanDuel, it'd be like, or excuse me, on DraftKings, it'd be like 6,000. But because the algorithms are baking in that Jacksonville is a completely elite defense, which they are, by the way, and especially in the secondary, the price has actually trended the opposite direction and gone down. And so now you're stuck with this math problem. I'm not sure what's correct. The math on our end says it's correct to play him. And I feel actually worse about him than I do about Shepard. But just because across the board,
yeah, Jacksonville's just been awesome. I mean, they've only allowed 209 points this season, which is 33 better than the next best team. So I get that this is tricky math. And I think this is why I also just leave it up to our system in cases like this. Like, you and I have gone a lot back and forth this season on what looks good to the eyeball test, what looks good to the math. I think that can wreak havoc on one's psyche as a DFS player. I think the best DFS players just say, looks be damned, I'm just going to play this guy because the math says so. I trust that our system knows math way better than my brain can intuitively handle it. And so even though it looks weird to have a wide receiver lining up against Jacksonville, I have to think that the system just gets that, you know? And I think for that reason, I understand the case against it for sure. And I think, you know, Goodwin already not a great touchdown guy. If Jacksonville is just going to curb stomp these guys, it's not going to look very great in the long run. I do think there is some element here of, you know, it's a home game for San Francisco. Jacksonville doesn't necessarily need this game. I mean, they're kind of jockeying for seeding right now, but they've got their division locked up, and it would be really hard to jump past both Pittsburgh and New England. So I think that there's some chance they take the foot off the gas. I don't know. I just think Goodwin's a good play. I mean, I think it's a good value. Maybe the upside isn't there for big tournaments, but it's just so cheap that it's hard to ignore. I mean, if you want to go in a different direction here, I'm curious what you think about this play. What about Robert Woods? I mean, he's basically priced the same thing as these two guys that I've listed ahead of him. He's, in fact, a little bit cheaper, significantly better matchup against Tennessee. But there is a little bit of this injury concern where he missed a month, came back last week, and only had 7 targets rather than the 11 and 10 he had prior to that. Do you think Robert Woods is a safer play than these guys?
Probably without feeling great about it. It's good that he played a full, he saw nearly a full run of snaps, which is a good sign for his overall health. The game, you know, he only had 6 catches, but that game was completely over by the end of the first half, yeah. Right? So like, I don't think so. In a now good, like the Rams are good too. So, and they're heavily favored again this week. This one's closer. We'll have to look at this one probably a little more closely, because this actually will be one where I'm sure the math on this one is actually going to end up being pretty close on those two guys. I think I probably prefer Woods, all things considered, and I just haven't looked at it closely enough.
I don't mind it. I mean, Woods right now, for what it's worth, as we've made adjustments throughout the week, is now the one showing up in lineups over Goodwin. Turns out that $200 kind of matters elsewhere. So just want to kind of put that caveat in before we move along. Basically, Devontae Freeman going down has moved around a lot of parts, and that savings has mattered. There are also, before we move on to tight ends, there are a couple two cheap guys that one can consider this week. They both kind of have strange situations, so I just want to highlight them real quick. The first one is Kendall Wright. So Kendall Wright, if you looked at his game log the last two games, it's kind of tough to tell the difference between him and a guy like Marquise Goodwin. I mean, 11 targets turned it into 10 catches against Cincinnati, 13 targets turns into 7 catches for 81 yards against Detroit. Wright's a guy, I mean, it's 4 years ago now, but right, he's only 27, 28 years old, who had 139 targets in a season. Now he's moving on to a Bears team with a young quarterback who has no clue what he's doing, who's finally found a safe outlet, and he's hauling in balls. He's 5,100 on FanDuel. That's the kind of price that allows you to pay up at every other position. Is that too risky? I mean, he's going up against Cleveland too, so we got some good matchup juju here too. Do you think Wright sees cash game ownership? And if so, do you think it'll be correct?
Well, real quick, I'm going to say this in the game by game, but Cleveland is plus 6.5 against Chicago, which again is like the old look yourself in the mirror category.
It's relegation time.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, no, I love Wright. I think Wright's a fantastic play. It's a shame that Trubisky, he's overcoming the fact that Trubisky is his quarterback, but actually, it's sort of helping him that Trubisky's his quarterback.
I think it helps him. Because he can't throw the ball 20 yards down the field. Needs guys like Wright.
I begrudgingly watched them last week because they were just like the Saturday game, and that was just the game that was on. So it was the evening we were watching it, and I watched that game, and it was just clear that Trubisky, and look, I'm not an X's and O's guys, and I've said that 1,000 times, but for my silly football eye, it was clear that Trubisky has found this outlet guy. You know, they're completely banged up in the tight end with Miller going down, and Sheehan went down as well, so they have no tight end play really at all. They have no other wide receivers. Trubisky's bad. No, I love Wright at 3,800 on DraftKings too. I think you see him as a very popular play, just the right kind of guy to get in to fit some of these other higher salaries. Oh, let's finish off a tight end. You wrote up Gronk coming off a huge week, kind of makes sense. I'm unclear about Hogan's status. We'll check that before the game by game podcast. Definitely helps if Hogan is not around for Gronk. We're usually begrudgingly paying up for big tight ends. We've done it for a couple times for Kelce this season, and that's really been it. I don't think Gronk has been a guy that we've targeted too much in cash. But it seems like you do feel comfortable doing it this week.
I think so. Well, there's a combination of a lot of cheap wide receivers and the fact that tight end is so crappy. I mean, we can list some of the other names, and actually some big value has been opened up in Antonio Gates with Hunter Henry going on the IR. So I think if I had that information, and that's not even accounted for in our system as we're recording this, the news is a little bit fresh there. So I do think that there is now some chance we just pivot away from that and look to spend up elsewhere. That being said, though, the last 2 weeks at Buffalo, at Pittsburgh, Gronk just goes out there, gets 9 receptions in both games, and averages 157 yards in those catches. Just kind of going right back to being the Gronk of old. Normally, we don't like to pay up at tight end, specifically because there's better cheap options in like the mid-6,000s or mid-5,000s. But this week, like, if you compare, so some of these $6,000 tight ends that I was looking at to write up this week, guys like Greg Olsen, you know, again, coming off a nice week, but had one target the prior week, right? It's really nice that he's practicing in full, and he's probably a good play, but there is some risk there. You go guys like Evan Ingram, Delanie Walker, you know, whoever else. Then you compare them against these really, I think, elite mid-tier wide receivers like Shepard, Goodwin, Robert Woods. Like, if any of those guys were in the same price range, like if Greg Olsen were a wide receiver, we wouldn't even utter his name, right? And so I think as I try to compare across those lines, I think Gronk just represents a level of safety that you're simply not getting on a points per dollar basis at this position right now. And I think the fact that New England's still fighting for that home field bye, I think this is the last week we see New England go for the jugular, assuming that, you know, everything plays out as expected. And then, you know, in that case, I think Gronk just leads that offense in targets and probably goes off again.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's always so expensive. The name helps him, and he puts together huge games too. The name doesn't help him too much. Look, he's amazing. So, and when he goes full beast mode, there's no one better. It's just you always worry a little bit that Patriots just do have a lot of weapons. Probably helps him with no Burkhead. They're already without Burkhead, but if they were to play with no Burkhead and no Hogan this week, I would feel even more comfortable with Gronk, just because that just does remove a lot of targets. And then the last guy you wrote up was Olsen. Do you feel like we maybe missed on Olsen last week? After playing, he had played full snaps the week before and just not gotten the target share.
No, and then we didn't miss on Olsen last week impossible. A guy who plays all week and gets one target, that just looks like a guy who's not healthy. Now, I think, is the time where you can say he's actually going to be someone featured in the offense. So it was not a mistake to not play him last week, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with game by game breakdown for all the games for the Sunday main slate. Once again, dfsr.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial. Buddy, enjoy that holiday cookie exchange. My mouth is watering just thinking about all those delicious
cookies. I know. Hopefully my belly doesn't hurt too much with all the cookies I'm going to eat in the next couple of days, Doug. We'll see.